some people write that silicon is sort of the new scarce resource for the world. It's like the new oil in global engagements of the past. So Red Tide is about China seizing critical silicon assets.
That's MP Woodward, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. MP Woodward is the New York Times bestselling author of the Tom Clancy Jack Ryan Jr. series and the Handler CIA espionage series, which includes the novels The Handler and Dead Drop. He joins us to talk about his naval thriller, Red Tide. Mike, welcome to Conversations.
Hey, Dan. Thank you very much for having me.
Before we talk about the plot of this latest novel, tell us a little bit about what inspired it.
Yeah, well, I started my professional life as a naval intelligence officer and in the Pacific. And, you know, over the last 30 years, I've been watching China's rise, as we all have. And later in my career as a business executive, I was much closer to China in my technology work. So I worked for a Taiwanese company. I worked in the semiconductor industry and telecommunications. And I saw the dominance that China was beginning to spread in some of the commoditized industries, et cetera. And I never saw anything wrong with that. I'm a believer in free trade and a commercial globalization generally. But over the past, 10 to 15 years, I sensed a shift, as we all did, in China's attitude and the Chinese Communist Party, particularly with respect to Taiwan. And I think that coincided at a time of sort of complacency in the American defense establishment, where, U.S. naval shipbuilding isn't what it has been in the past and so forth. So I wanted to write a novel that was really speculative fiction around what might happen if China did something around silicon. And, some people write that silicon is sort of the new scarce resource for the world. It's like the new oil in global engagements of the past. So Red Tide is about China seizing critical silicon assets in Taiwan, not only to recapture Taiwan as a sovereign country, but also to dominate that industry and starve American industry. So that was the idea. And so the result was Red Tide.
Rear Admiral William Cole is about ready to retire. And then China makes this move on Taiwan, and suddenly his plans go out the window. So tell us more about the plot here.
Sure. I really wanted to try to, rather than make kind of a standard geopolitical military thriller where all the heroes are extraordinarily competent and, I'm driven by national goals, I wanted to present a more personal level. And some of my favorite books growing up were like Herman Wouk's Winds of War and War and Remembrance, that amazing series, Anton Meyer's Once an Eagle. And if you look at those books, they're terrific students of geopolitics of the times, but they're through the eyes of characters that feel very real, who have family struggles, who have things going on in their lives, and who throughout the story experience tragedy and loss that I think is emblematic of sort of national tragedy loss, but it's able to feel more personal and emotional in a fictional setting. And I think that's the magic of fiction and books, is being able to represent history or geopolitics through that kind of lens. And so Admiral Cole, for me, was a good vessel for that, in that he was someone who was at the end of his career, hadn't necessarily expected to find himself where he was, had some troubles with his marriage and with his family, and yet they all become embroiled in this struggle.
The other thing I found interesting is not only obviously do you have the role of the Navy in terms of ships and protecting the seas, but here you have a conflict that not only involves the free seas, but also attacking satellites and knocking out communications and all these things. So as you start this novel out, China has dealt a devastating blow to the United States. So maybe without too many spoilers, how does the United States respond in this situation?
Yeah, I think the analog is sort of a Pearl Harbor scenario where the U.S. is trying to fulfill, or it has been for the last, 70, 80 years. The U.S. Navy's been trying to fulfill a global mission of protecting free seas, including around Taiwan. And the United States is, as I detail in the book, in the real world, is actually quite reliant on the chip production that comes out of Taiwan. Most people think chips come from Silicon Valley. In reality, they're designed in Silicon Valley. They're actually, go through a foundry and a factory in Taiwan, nearly all of them. What I wanted was for China to feel threatened through a trade war. And I wrote this before we actually saw trade wars in the real world, but through a trade war, and felt the need to satisfy two goals: one, to return Taiwan to Chinese sovereignty, and two, to seize these assets. And to do so, like the Japanese at Pearl Harbor, the first thing they need to do is cripple the American fleet that stands in their way. In our modern world, to do that, these weapon systems are all so long range. They're all over the horizon, as we call them. They're all connected via technology and data links, much of which relies on satellites, particularly in a place like the Pacific, where the distances are so vast. So, my opinion, and the opinion I think of most military planners who have looked at these contingencies, is that, China, through a variety of kinetic satellite weapons or cyber weapons, would disable American GPS, really global GPS, pretty much immediately, and try to starve American communication systems, because they know that that is the lifeblood of the fleet. So that was what I was toying with. The other thing that I felt was important was that we live in a world where, nuclear annihilation is the thing that nobody wants to really think about, yet it's always there as this specter. And I think we've seen just in the last 3-4 years, really since Russia invaded Ukraine, we've seen nuclear powers be at war. I mean, Israel has, nuclear weapons. We've seen the United States be at war, or Israel be at war, or Russia be at war, all nuclear powers. Yet, aside from Putin's, saber rattling here and there, it's never been a serious threat. And so I think there's this evolved kind of concept of great power struggles using limited war. And that's what I wanted to show in Red Tide, that China would try to really take out the U.S. fleet and say, what are you going to do about it, right? In a limited way. Look, here's all we want. Let's just stop there before we blow up the world. And I was trying to portray the world coming to that brink with that diplomatic conundrum.
So what does your book have to say, I guess, in terms of just looking at where things stand right now and the possibility of a war in the future? What are the challenges that face the Navy in terms of being able to keep up with the challenges that they're facing today?
I'm not a warmonger or anything like that. I'm not trying to, portray like a doomsday threat. But I think that nations can sort of neglect areas that were strong before that become weak later. And, what I'm showing in this is that we grew up in a world where the Navy, the American Navy, was quite vast and really protected the whole world to keep seas open and free, as was declared, shortly after World War II, that the oceans would be a commons. And over time, the Navy is, a third of the size that it once was. And so it can't actually live up to those requirements today. And when that shield for a free sea goes away, then other actors with a different agenda are going to challenge it. And that's what I was trying to show. But I also hope that I did try to show what some of the Chinese motivations are. And I think it's important that people understand some Chinese history and their worldview and how they see Taiwan and that struggle, and how the ambiguity of Taiwan's diplomatic status since World War II leaves us in a very fuzzy world today about how that will shake out. So I guess if it were me for just protecting American interests and American policy, it would be that, the Navy needs to continue to be a ball work for Free Seas, and that includes in Asia, and also that it would behoove the United States, that relies on its technology industry, to be an economic world leader. Well, that technology industry relies on silicon, all of which comes from this place called Taiwan. And so diversification around Taiwan, things like the CHIPS Act that happened, I think, in 2021, are good ideas. And I think that strategic policymakers should have those very foremost in their minds.
Mike, there's a question I like to ask authors of fiction, and it's this. If you could spend a day in real life with one of the characters from this novel, who would it be and why?
I think it would probably be Will Cole, who is the main protagonist, and that feels like too easy of an answer. But I liked, one of the reasons I wrote him as a character is that I liked his scope, and his scope feels familiar to me in that he bridges what now feels like two eras: the post-World War II rules-based international order, Cold War, and globalization era that really went from, let's call it, you know, 1940, the Cold War was 1945 to 1991. The post-Cold War globalization era was, you know, the 90s through up to what, 2014. I think it kind of ended with Crimea. And so he has seen the tail end of the Cold War, the globalization era, and now this new era. And he recognizes that there's an impedance mismatch with what the Navy is capable of and what the expectations are. And I think him living through that and then being faced with this problem and realizing that things need to change if his Navy, which he loves, is to be successful, I think that's really interesting. And what I like about his character arc is that I think, you know, as a retiring Rear Admiral, he has a certain view of the world that, you know, is perhaps a little calcified, and he is forced to sort of open his eyes and find new ways to think about how to solve these problems out of expediency. But that's good for him personally, and it helps him, I think, with his family relationships and everything else. So I like a transformative hero like that, so it would be Will Cole.
And as we noted, he was about ready to retire. He was kind of ready to pass the torch along to those new generations to defend freedom. And that's one point you make right at the beginning of the book, that you can't just assume that freedom is a given, that it's just not automatically inherited. It has to be fought for. So tell us a little bit more about how you open the book and how you refer to those quotes about freedom.
I haven't really actually written a foreword to a book before, but this was the first novel I've written. I think I'm on my 9th or 10th novel now. And this was the first one I wrote where I felt I was actually making a point that was important, not just thematically and in a literary way, but in a more political way. And so I opened that foreword with a quote from Ronald Reagan. And that quote actually is framed on the quarterdeck of the USS Midway. And the Midway is today sort of a living museum in San Diego Bay. I would encourage anyone listening to this to visit it. It's quite stirring. And there are several reasons why I chose that quote. One, I'll get to its message in a second, but the fact that it was on the Midway, you know, the Midway, as I say in the foreword, is named after the Battle of Midway, which was really such a pivotal moment in not just American military history, but frankly, world history, because if they had lost that battle, then the Japanese likely would have advanced to Hawaii. I think California would have been threatened. American entrance to the European theater would have been much delayed. The UK was already hanging by a thread. So you can play those sort of speculative games all day long. But all that changed at the Battle of Midway in 1942, you know, less than a year after Pearl Harbor, because it really dispatched the Japanese fleet. And I wanted Red Tide to echo that in its climactic sea battle. But because of the significance of Midway, because it's of the battle and its, you know, namesake, the ship, and that quote hanging there, I was working on this book when I visited, and that quote, Reagan's quote, and you know, you put me on the spot, so I don't remember it off the top of my head, but he effectively says what, you know, you just paraphrase, which is that, you know, we don't inherit freedom. Every generation fights for it. And that is very much the message, is that, you know, Admiral Cole grew up in a generation where it did feel like a given. That was, you know, my generation. And going forward, you know, choices have to be made. I think people need to think about it a little bit more. And that was the point of the book and the foreword.
Well, this book is Red Tide. It's by N.P. Woodward. What's next for you?
Oh, gosh, I got a couple of things. I have this May, I will release on May 12th, a book called The Fourth Option, which I co-wrote with Jack Carr. So anybody listening to this, search for Jack Carr's next book, The Fourth Option, or me. And you can read about that, or it's on my website at mpwoodward.com. I've also got, after that, a Tom Clancy, Jack Ryan Sr. novel called The Coldest War that will come out in November, which I wrapped recently. And that is a book about a war in the Arctic. So another contentious region, not too dissimilar from Red Tide. And so that'll come out in November. And then I've got three books likely planned for 2027. So it's a busy time right now. It's been basically three books a year for the last couple of years. But that's also a good problem to have.
Well, that'll give your fans a lot to look forward to. This current novel is Red Tide. It's by M.P. Woodward. Mike, thank you very much for talking with me today.
My pleasure as always, Dan. Thank you for the thoughtful questions.
You'll find more interviews on a wide variety of topics at kansaspublicradio.org/conversations. You can use the KPR app to listen to the latest episodes on your phone or tablet, and you'll also find us on Facebook. I'm Dan Scunner. Thanks for listening.